Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
What's poppin', congregation? This is the first recording that I've done in my new place, so forgive me if the sound is a scam, but I'm gonna try my best, guys. It's so good to hear from you. How are you doing? Yes, that's great. Or, ooh, that's awful. Or, wow, that's boring. Choose which one fits for you. Guys, I'm super what? Yes, excited for today's guest. Like, this man is such a hilarious comedian. He's such a smart person. We have flown around the spaces with him for a while and never gotten to have like an opportunity where I could actually sit down and talk with him other than business stuff. So I'm really excited to have Chris Gethard on the show today. Guys, you know him as a comedian based out of New Jersey. You know we love Jersey in the building. Turnpike. He's also can be seen, heard on his podcast, which is very popular, Beautiful/Anonymous. And he has a special out right now called Half My Life, which is half documentary and half stand-up special. Guys, get into it, and it's out everywhere right now. What space, Chris, where is this out?
First of all, I have to say I'm a low energy human being and you just blew me out of the water, so I'm gonna do my best to keep up. But yeah, you can get it on iTunes and Amazon and YouTube and Vimeo and all those places.
Yes.
All those great places where things happen. Hello, thank you.
Half My Life, Chris, thank you so much for being here. I do also have to say, like, I think the audience will appreciate your energy because I've been out here screaming with people for the past few weeks. So they're like, finally, like, oh my God.
I'll try to keep up. I have a 2-year-old son though. So, and I think I actually sound how I usually feel right now. I feel like my voice is blown out where it's accurate. But yeah, I'm just going to try to keep up because I'm older and I'm tired. So I'll do my best. How's that for a ringing endorsement of this?
That's beautiful.
Potential fireworks of this episode.
I love how you're setting it up. And also, like, I'm tired as well. I cannot wait. When I moved, I was like, oh, okay, now I get to just lay here and do nothing after my birthday party. And my cousin was like, no, you have to unpack and we have to get furniture for your place before I leave town. I was like, no, I just want to lay here and watch Drag Race. So I am also tired. But yeah,
happy
here we
birthday.
Are.
Happy
Thank
birthday,
you.
By the way.
Thank you. I'm actually going to talk about that's what's hot and fraud today is me getting scammed in my birthday weekend. But before we get to that, Chris, what's your relationship with scams? Have you ever been scammed? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Like, where do you lie on the spectrum?
I would say that I'm pretty gullible and therefore easily scammable.
A mark.
I would say a strange combination of, like, you did mention that I grew up in New Jersey and I have some North Jersey in me, so I'm very skeptical. But when they get me, I got pretty hard.
Oh, wow.
There's like a couple things that come to mind where I go.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I need to know at least one.
Well, if you want to just get into them. One, you may be able to help me as someone who really is acquainted with these things. First of all, I was part of one, which I understand is a pretty common internet scam, where I just came home one day. This was when I lived in Queens.
Okay.
And my hallway, there were like 14 gigantic Amazon boxes with my name on them outside my door. Like a big giant tower of boxes. It looked like someone was like trying to build a fort outside my front door. And they were all filled with very low quality protein powder. And I opened them up. I was like, what is happening here? And my understanding is that this is a thing that just happens sometimes, where sometimes somebody on Amazon will just send you a million of the same thing. And I tried to understand what it was. Something to do with now they have the ability to give better reviews to that product as you.
Yes, so Chris. Amen. You know what you're talking about. That's it.
Yeah, I got that one. And but then the real bad part about that is at the end of the day, it's even like, did I really get scammed? It's just a bunch of stuff showed up at my door. Here's where it gets real annoying. So I had a one-bedroom apartment and a baby. And my wife and I lived there. And then you call Amazon and they go, oh, well, it's cheaper if you just keep it. And I'm like, I don't need 15 5-gallon powder, protein powder. So
that could be like Bulek Similac. Did y'all stir it up and see if the baby liked it?
I started giving it away to friends of mine. I was at the time I was having a midlife crisis. I mean, I've on and off done Brazilian jiu-jitsu for many years, and I'd started doing it again around this time because I was having a midlife crisis, and I started giving it to younger, fitter people at my gyms, and they were like, why are you giving us this like terrible off-brand protein powder?
Chris, you missed a huge opportunity to start your MLM. You could have just took that powder and you could have been the upline, and then you get somebody on the downline. Next thing you know, you got people slanging it on the corner. You take it with you to your baby's nursery while the baby's at work. You know, you could have really made some coin, Chris. Well, let's get into our first segment. What's hot and fried? And guys, today was hot and fried is me. Again, this is really embarrassing because in the 2 years that almost 2 years we've been doing this podcast, I have not been what's hot and fried at all the first year. And then now this is the second time this year that I'm about to be what's hot and fried. And wow. So if you follow me on Instagram or any social media, really, you know that my birthday is always on the 4th of July, and we call it the 4th of July. See, I was born on the 4th of July. I don't know why I said it's always like it's going to be a leap year or something. It's the 4th of July. So I call it the 4th of July. And for the past few years, like obviously during COVID, I couldn't do a big party. And then like this was a big birthday. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like everyone's vaccinated. We rented out this huge mansion. 12 of my friends and family flew in. We had my cousin who does black mat yoga. That's his company. His name's Eric. He led us in yoga. Everyone wore black. I had dress code. It was like my fucking wedding. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get married to nobody, you know? So let me just have a wedding real quick. Like literally everyone was in black and I would be in white. Like it was like my wedding.
Like Diddy.
Yeah.
Like Diddy stuff.
Yes. Oh, and that's going to tie in. Like we had a surf and turf dinner at the house. I was catered by this amazing chef. It was just it was good vibes. So on Saturday we wake up, we do yoga. That's led by my cousin Eric. And it was really beautiful. We're on the rooftop. We're all in black. I got everyone these black mats and these gift bags. Like, I really tried to blow it out for my family because they've really been holding me down, right? So we're doing the yoga. It's great. Good vibes. Then we go in the kitchen. My mom already has brunch litty. Like, we turn on some trap gospel, which is a mixture of trap and gospel music. Like, there's this remix to this song. I don't know if you've ever heard this song, Chris, but it's called Never Would Have Made It by Fred Hammond. And it's, like, a pretty popular song if you're, like, Baptist or if you're black in general and go to church. And it's just like, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I know some of y'all know it. But they have a trap version that's like, never would have made it, never. And it's like, so we're like twerking to gospel and taking shots. My mom was like, I don't know how I feel about this. So we go on this yacht party. I send my mom, my auntie, and my sister to get massages because, like, my sister's too young and my auntie's too old. So I was like, y'all go get massages. I should have went with they asses because I had a party planner. And my assistant, who's wonderful, like, some things I had to be very hands-on with, but I thought this yacht rental situation, I had just done it in Miami for my other best friend's birthday. We thought it was going to be chill. Instead, we get out here. I tell everybody to wear white. This is my Diddy moment. It's about to be white party. Okay, cute. Everybody meets up at my house. We get the Ubers to go to the marina. Everyone's in white. I'm in like this like Dior bathing suit that's like white and blue for the photos. So, Chris, we get there. And you can, and this is always a conversation on this podcast, Chris. So you can interrupt if you have questions.
I just feel like all of this sounds fake to me. This is all so outside. You lost me at surf and turf. That's already classier than anything I've ever done for my birthday or any event I've ever thrown. This sounds like the most amazing experience of all of these people's lives. And this is just what you did for your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, My friends are like very bougie. They love to like, we were on my friend's yacht for her birthday. Like, we're just like, my mom, I'll put it this way. When I grew up, my mom loved to throw parties and she loved to like have like valet go park people's cars at the pool. We would have ice sculptures. And my grandpa's 80th, we were all doing shots off of an ice sculpture loop. Like, my mom loves a good party.
About? My birthday this year.
Chris.
Lacey, my birthday this year. I looked at the calendar and we were already scheduled to get dinner with my neighbors, the Hainsworths. So my wife just gave them a heads up and they added a cake.
Come on, the Hainsworths. And that was it.
The Hainsworths. They're a lovely older couple that lived down the road and they had us over for dinner. And I said, oh, that's my birthday. And my wife said, okay, well, tell the Hainsworths that we also need a cake. And that was it.
Cake.
You're having like yoga and yachts and mansions? Who are you? What did I become a part of here? I thought we were going to talk about protein powder scams.
Oh, we're going to get to some more scams. But this scam, Chris, okay, if you can believe it, it's going to get pretty wild. And congregation, I will post photos because I made sure to take photos of this shit as it was happening because I was like, what the fuck is going on? So everybody's in white, right? We meeting at the marina, right? We had gotten some food because the Cheesecake Factory was nearby. So we was like, let's just get some, you know, appetizers and food for people there. And then we already have liquor and everything on the boat. Like, cool. I've seen pictures of this boat. It's huge. But like, I'm not really paying attention because I'm slammed. I'm working at the time. I'm doing PR. Like, I didn't have time to look at every single little detail. Otherwise, I would have realized like these photos were cute, but this boat is huge, but it's older. And that's not what I wanted. That wasn't the vibes. The vibes were like popping and new, not old Titanic boat. So first red flag, we get there. We're outside the marina. And we're standing around. We're a little late because Pablo, who is the main character of the story, Pablo, he told us that his last excursion ran a little long. It's a holiday, so I'm trying to be like understanding. We're waiting. And I'm like, well, don't we need to just walk to the dock that we're going to get on? And then we just get on the boat. And they're like, well, no, because the boat is so big, you have to take a smaller boat to the actual boat. And then I'm like, okay, well, that still sounds cute. Okay. We're waiting for Pablo for like half an hour. Now I'm getting pissed. I'm like, I have all these guests out here dressed in white, ready for a P. Diddy good time. And we are standing out on the curb looking like slaves on Easter Sunday. And it was like, what is happening?
Diddy would never stand for that.
Diddy would never.
I've hung out with Diddy twice. He would never.
I haven't. See, look, and I'm very humbled because I was like, I'm not Diddy yet. It's fine. It's cool. So we look across the street and we see another group of people, a large group, also waiting. So then I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is just the norm. Like, I see other people waiting in there, you know, with their coolers or whatever they're doing. Like, maybe this is a situation I don't understand. So then my assistant gets on the phone because at this point I'm like, where the fuck is Pablo? Because he's about to catch these hands, okay? So she gets on the phone and I overhear her say, oh, do you have on your pirate's hat? Because he said he was walking over. And I said, pirate's hat? Why is this man wearing a pirate's hat?
Oh, so it wasn't an expectation that you would wear a pirate's hat.
No.
Okay, that's good.
The captain of the boat. Now, look, yeah. I didn't sign up for SpongeBob SquarePants yacht. I wanted Diddy yacht. Why is he wearing a pirate's hat? So finally, we see Pablo. He's coming over, right? This is the sweatiest man I've ever seen in my entire life. This nigga ran to us and was so sweaty. Like, Chris, I need you to understand, like, drenched, like hair soaked, face soaked. I'm gonna see if I can pull up a picture right now for you so you can see how insanely sweaty this man was. He had to have been on cocaine. There's just no way that he wasn't. All day.
Hey, listen, on behalf, I feel like there's probably many listeners who have never attended a party to the level of what you're saying, as I have not. So on behalf of all those people, was he wearing a pirate's hat? And what does that mean?
So he had the pirate's hat. And later on, I think I have a photo where he's in the back with the pirate's hat on. But I took pictures with them because I was like, I need people to understand. Hold on, let me see. Look at how sweaty this man is, Chris.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he took a shower with his clothes on.
Literally. And this is like 4 hours after we first met him. He's still sweating that hard. So he comes, he's sweaty. He's like, come on, y'all. We about to get on the boat. So we get on this huge kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like maybe a party boat, but like a hollowed out boat. It's not like luxurious. It's just like a big boat, like a tugboat. I don't know. So we get on this boat. It's supposed to take us to the other boat. while we on this boat, and Pablo's friend, who I'm pretty sure was a sex worker, which is no shade because sex work is work, but I think she was there to do things that we didn't know. We thought she was going to serve some drinks, but I think she was serving other things. And so we get on this boat, and then we notice this group of other people that were waiting on the curb get on the boat too. And they're like, don't worry, we're going to drop your party off first. Why are we on this boat driving around the damn ocean for like an hour?
And like the shuttle boat.
The shuttle boat. And all okay. of this, I guess, is because when you rent out a boat, you can't have more than 12 people on it if it's a commercial thing. If it's private, then it doesn't matter. So we're driving around, and I noticed that, like, the maritime people, what are they called? Coast Guard. They're, like, out, and their boats have lights on them, like police cars. So when the tugboat that we were on would see the police boat, they would turn the other way.
What?
And, yes, and keep driving. So suddenly we see the boat. They're like, there's the boat that's your boat. That's the boat that we're about to get on. Okay. Then they're like, okay, now you have to get on a smaller dinghy boat to ride over to your boat. And I was like, what?
Oh, I don't, this is starting to feel unsafe.
Chris, it was very unsafe. It was extremely unsafe. I literally, okay, so at this point I was like, turn this bitch around. My friends can just come kick it at the mansion and we'll have our dinner tonight and fuck this. Like, fuck this. I'm ready to bail. I know it's a scam. It's only going to get worse. I was like, fuck it. My friends are like, we have come this far. We are going to get on this dinghy boat. I was like, it's choppy out here. And the boat was very tiny. It was like, you could only fit 3 people on it. And why? I'm telling you, it was so choppy. I was scared I was going to fall in. They put me in a life vest.
Wait, there were so 3 of you would get on at a time and be shuttled from one boat,
yes.
from boat 1 to boat 3?
Yeah, so they stuck me in a life vest, bro. I was crying a little bit. I was so upset. I was high and drunk, but I was also crying because I was like, this is my party. This is terrible. So they put me in a life vest and they were like, you're getting on this dinghy boat. I was like, no, guys, let's not do this. It's the Titanic. Come on. We all know the black people didn't live in that. They didn't let them on the boat. So I get on this dinghy. He says 3 people at a time. Why do I get on this dinghy? And he said 3 people, right? Pablo then, so imagine sitting on a bench and there's 2 people sitting on the bench, right? And there's a steering wheel in the middle of the bench. Pablo climbs over us and stands in the middle of us, stepping on my feet in this little tiny dinghy boat, driving it over to the main boat. Then when we get to the main boat, he throws rope at my friend Edgar, who was on the dinghy boat with us, and he doesn't even ask. He just throws the rope at him and is like, tie that up. And Edgar's like, I ain't no motherfucking sailor. Like, the fuck?
This is wild. I just had a laid back night at the Hainsworths. There was a pasta salad.
I was getting smuggled across the Pacific.
This sounds like a kidnapping.
It was. When we were on that boat, Pablo came out with some champagne on the first boat. He came out with some champagne, like, here you go, guys. Like, turn up. What's going to be fun? We were like, what? So then once I take the dinghy boat, I was like, absolutely none of my guests are going to do this. This is ridiculous. Take this boat back, dock it, and let them walk on or let me get off. Like, I was over it. So finally, I guess they could dock the boat, and they dock it, and the guy on the boat was like, Pablo lied to us. He told us that it was only going to be 12 people, and it's too many of y'all. And I was like, well, Pablo lied to us. Like, Pablo lied to everybody. Mind you, Pablo's not on this big boat. He's somehow disappeared on his dinghy boat. We don't know where Pablo went. So we parked the boat.
Who the fuck was Pablo?
Pablo is a wild
dude.
Who
was this man?
Then we parked the boat. And the guy who was the captain of the actual boat sees my friends on the dock and he yells over the side and he's like, get on the boat, go, go, go. And my cousin's like, can y'all tie the boat? I'm not about to jump on the boat without no ties. Like, y'all gotta do something. He's like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. The Coast Guard's gonna see us. So all these people are like smuggling onto this boat. And the boat was not reflective of the photos. It was, big, but it was tragic. It was just one of the worst experiences.
How long were you on the big boat?
So we got to the big boat. We're supposed to be on for 4 hours. But by the time we got there, 2 hours had passed. And I didn't want to be on the damn boat anyway. So I think we were on there for maybe an hour. And then we got off. And then we all went home and got ready for dinner.
Did you have to take the little dinghy 3 at a time to get off?
No. They parked the boat at the marina. I was vehemently at that point. I was like, I will hurt you people. Like, we are not getting back on this dinghy. I will not die today.
What are you talking about, Lacey? This doesn't happen to people.
It happens to me.
What
I am a magnet.
That's wild. That's wild.
I am an agent of chaos, and I've learned to accept it and just receive it. But it was very upsetting because I was really excited and looking forward to this yacht moment. Everyone's in white. They look so good. We're going to take these photos. We're going to turn up. And instead, it was this embarrassing scam that kept giving. Oh, also, so then Pablo somehow returns to the boat. I guess he got back on the dinghy, comes to the boat. And I had a tip, like a $500 tip for the boat captain. Somehow my assistant sees Pablo and gives the money to Pablo. Then he hops back on his dinghy boat and speeds away. And I was like, what? We should have gave that money at least to the smuggling boat captain, not to goddamn Pablo who made us through the middle passage like we were slaves. Like, it was terrible. And then Pablo had the nerve to hit up my assistant the next day and say, oh, you and the actress, y'all should come. I have a huge boat party today. Lots of celebs. We'll have fun. Pablo, I ain't never getting on nobody's body of water with you ever again. The audacity to think that I would.
Well, happy birthday. I've had some pretty wild times. And that one gives me a run.
Yo, I'll post pictures of Pablo, of, I think her name was Irina, the sex worker /waitress. Like, I'll post photos of me in the life vest that, like, y'all see everything, because it was a time. But guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements.
Wow.
We'll be back for historic hoodwinks. Scams! I love fashion, okay? But we all know buying the latest and the greatest constantly is a little bit of a scam to the planet, which is why I love Nuuly. It's a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Sometimes you put something on the gram and you can be like, oh, well, it's dead now. Well, with Nuuly, you can keep having fresh fits and you're helping the planet. Try out trending styles, colors, silhouettes, and then you can send it back for something new, okay? Come on, Nuuly. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles for more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. I know that's right. It's fast, free shipping and returns with professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy whatever you love, which I love that because sometimes I put on a piece and I'm like, it's mine now. So you can buy it from Nuuly. I love using Nuuly because the free shipping, it's really quick, and the pieces are really nice quality. Also, I love that the orders, like when I got mine, it was shipped in a recyclable, reusable tote. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code GODDESS20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code GODDESS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code GODDESS20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Close your eyes. Open your mind. And imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials. Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went
back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. I got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/goddess.
Cut! And we are back. Guys, that was a wild one, right? I don't know why. I think I stayed for the scam for you guys. I was like, at this point, we're in so deep. Let me get some photos. Let me talk to the congregation about it. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest, Chris. I feel like I'm in therapy.
Oh, I get that a lot from people.
So, Historic Hoodwinks, this is my favorite segment of the podcast. This is where we're going to talk about a famous crime or caper, new, old, past, present. We'll see. Maybe it's a group of people. Maybe it's one person. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're bad. We don't know. We'll figure it out along the way. We'll let you know. This episode is so meta. Like, I told a very meta story about how I got scammed. Chris told his stories about how he got scammed. And now we're going to talk about podcasting getting scammed. And we're both podcasters. So, you know, it's very meta episode. Sometimes you need those guys. Real world. So, the High Studios Hype House was supposed to be every podcaster's dream. A haven for creators to work, record, and even live. All supported by a network more interested in investing in their independent podcast than selling ads. However, it ended up being a drug-fueled frat boy nightmare almost entirely because of its CEO, Peter Vincer. Question, Chris, you're very familiar, not even familiar, like this is what you do with podcasting. So this is Peter Vincer and he has a douche face.
I don't trust this man.
It's just like, he looks like a bad guy. he looks like the guy who's at the bar talking to a girl who's probably overserved and he's like, don't you want another drink? Like, he looks like that guy.
Yeah, and this, I wonder what the context of this photo is. This looks like a bad person trying to put his best foot forward for a photographic purpose, but it looks like he yelled at someone right before the photo, and he will yell at someone right after the photo.
Mm-hmm. He was like, make me look like a nice guy! And then he took the photo, and then probably threw something at someone. Like, he's just giving bad guy energy.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a direct cross between Mark Cuban and Michael Rapaport.
Oh, that's accurate as fuck and also a read.
This picture you're showing me, I actually feel really proud that I nailed that because that.
God damn.
I think that's right on target what I just said.
Guys, remember what Chris said, because when you see this photo, you're going to be like, wow, what a genius. Because that's it. That's literally it. It's Michael Rapaport and Mark Cuban as one man. Terrifying. So if you do podcasting, we'll like break down podcasting a little bit. Y'all hear us reading ads, personal experience, or you'll hear ads played on our show. That's how we keep doing this so that it's free for y'all, which is why I'm always like, if you got critiques of my motherfucking show, it's free, bitch. I don't want your critiques. Now, if you have some insight or information, I'll take that. I love when the congregation pulls up. But if you got thoughts, honey, keep them thoughts, okay? Because I'm not reading them, okay? But so this is how you pay for a podcast. It's like, you get ads. So the fact that they're not interested in the thing that makes podcasting money is a big red flag. That's like if you worked at, or like if you made a clothing store and you were like, yeah, we're not really interested in clothes though. You know, we're more vibes here. We got mannequins, we got hangers, we got, you know, like we're just more of a vibes clothing store. And it's like, well then how y'all gonna make money? Like, you're missing the thing, which is clothes.
But also any artist or creative person who's told, hey, this is all about supporting you and your creativity and not about the corporate side of it, is going to want to be a part of that. If they're saying, we can give you enough money to support yourself and it's not about the ads, it's about your work, people are prone to fall for that. I would have fallen for that earlier. Absolutely. In my career.
Absolutely. Yeah, but now that I know how the butter gets made, I know that that's impossible. And if someone tells you that, you have to be alarmed. You have to be like, wait a minute. So Peter Vincent and the setup of High Studios. Okay, so what might have once been seen as a niche industry, podcasting now spends billions annually in acquisition of some of its most recognized names in the world as talent. Because, like, now you got Joe Rogan, who was like the Fear Factor nigga, right? Like, he used to make niggas eat worms, and now people listen to his every word. And I'm like, bro, this is the man who made people eat cow dick. Like, why y'all talking to him?
It is. And yeah, when, like, his opinion on vaccination, I feel like he's good about being like, I'm an idiot, but he'll still say don't get vaccinated, and then people do it. And you're right, like, he's also a guy who convinced people to eat live scorpions on TV. So it's weird that people go, yeah, his medical advice should be trusted. Anyway,
it's so bizarre. I'm like, y'all don't remember when he used to make people lay in worms? Like, that's not the man that you should be talking to about your vaccination status. Like, what? Come on now, just because you're qualified in one area doesn't mean you're qualified in another. It's just like what we do with billionaires. Like, as soon as you're a billionaire, now all of a sudden all your opinions are smart. Like, Elon Musk made the Tesla, right? Now he can go to the fucking moon. Those things don't connect. Okay, just because Bill Gates made control alt delete doesn't mean I would let him do open heart surgery on me. He's not a genius in every field. Like, what
I love about this, Lacey, is that you are giving credit where it's due. And you said Joe Rogan's not qualified to talk about vaccinations. Just because he is qualified to make you eat a live scorpion or lay in a big garbage pail full of worms. So you're saying he is qualified to do that?
Oh, he was very competent at Fear Factor. He got the girls to eat the bats and you know, crunch on the cockroaches. Like, he was very talented in that realm. But everything else, all this world opinions that he has, I'm like, we can curtail that, guys. Come on now. Like, we need to. So now podcasting obviously is something that makes a lot of money, right? In 2019, China's largest podcast and audio platform, Shimalaya, launched a U.S. offshoot called Himalaya. Okay. When they first debuted, their largest draw was the sheer amount of money that they offered, boasting a supposed $100 million investment from their parent company and others. Peter Vincer had recently joined VP of Global Marketing and Partnerships and spent his time boasting the $100 million figure, pitching the podcast on the idea and podcasters on the idea to help sell shows and ads and take a cut of the sales made. What's different greatly from more common models of podcast networks selling ads for podcasts, but otherwise not offering significant financial support. So basically, normally ads are the bread and butter and they don't give you coin unless you get what we call like a minimum guarantee, which basically is like, oh, you'll make this much money making a podcast, but if you don't sell ads to make that money back, then you don't get anything else. It's like a 360 deal in music, like where, oh, you can have a chain and a house and a music video, but until your record sales pay that off, we about to TLC your ass. We about to, you know what I mean? Like, they're about to rob you. So that's the normal setup. And now they're coming in being like, we just gonna give y'all money. Like, that's it.
Which is what all podcasters want. And Lacey, you and I have actually been on some group emails where people have expressed wanting that, but it's not a real thing in the industry so much. So I'm interested to see what all Big Chin Peter has to do with this.
Right. Peter got the crimson chin.
He has a very crimson chin.
Look, say, I'm not trying to chin shame. Some of us got more chin than others, but this man looks like a bad dude. So we're going to talk about his chin a little bit.
He has as much chin as I have forehead. So I'll... Right there. I'll put it back on myself. I'm not mad at your chin, Peter.
Right. So Vincer says that High Studios was a place for his entrepreneurial spirit to have more freedom. There were potentially other reasons why Himalaya would want to distance himself from him. So basically he was like, oh, I can have more freedom here. This is why I want to do this. I want to help out Himalaya find, you know, Westerners to do podcasts. Richard Saylor says, he's just a bad guy. And unfortunately, he's a bad guy wrapped up into this magnificent personality. You know what that tells me? He's tall. Whenever a white man is tall and has a full head of hair, they call him charismatic.
You think tall is a key factor here?
They're like, he was just so tall and he had so much hair and that made him personable. Like,
well, I'm 5'7" and my hairline is getting worse with each passing day, so you can trust me.
Yes. So Venser is known as a stereotypical partying suit. He is disrespectful, hard to work with, and allegedly would do coke, drink to excess, and hire sex workers regularly while on his work trips. I don't think hiring sex workers is a bad thing. That's fine. People do cocaine. You shouldn't drink to excess, but, you know, the combination of this gives us a very good idea of, like, the Wolf of Wall Street, Leonardo DiCaprio beating on my chest, asshole, like, yelling at waitstaff kind of guy. So this behavior occurred before his High Studios Hype House was fully launched. And if you don't know what a Hype House is, it's, like, something that's developed after TikTok where, like, people will be influencers and then live together in a mansion, like a lot of them, like 50-11 of them, so that they can afford the mansion, but also they can have mansion vibes, even though they can't afford a mansion on their own because they're all influencers. Like, that's what a Hype House is.
That's weird.
Oh, and they exist. There's so many. I've, like, but, walked past Jake Paul's Hype House and there were fans waiting outside. Bizarre.
But I mean, I'm in the world of podcasting, as are you, and there's all different types of podcasters, but in general, this is not a lifestyle that lends itself to hype now, hypeness. Like, it's,
I don't know, I'm pretty hype.
You're at the far hype end of the podcasting spectrum, but the cliche is like a bunch of nerds sitting behind microphones. Like, this is not, this doesn't exactly scream like in-ground pool, jump off the roof, like blast a bunch of rails. Like, it's not exactly the lifestyle. It's not the Jake
and then
Paul
get on
lifestyle.
A microphone. Get on a microphone and talk about a missing white woman.
Yeah. And yes, talk about true crime or like, here's some things you might not have known about Napoleon. Like, that, this is not, I'm very confused as to this.
But you're like coked up. Listen, did y'all know Napoleon was that dude? Listen, let me tell y'all about motherfucking Napoleon. Can you imagine?
He wasn't even that short. He wasn't even that short by the standards of his era.
Justice for my nigga Napoleon. Like, can you imagine if people got on the mic that hype to talk about those fucking, like, true crime or historical podcasts? I would
die.
It'd
be like, instead of drunk history, it would be like coked out history. That would be actually a very pleasant show to watch, I bet. Coked out history would be an amazing sequel to drunk history.
Right. The information would come at you fast.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, Thomas Edison had all these fucking patents, but do you know how many of them he actually stole from the people who worked under him and he just slapped his fucking name on them?
Thomas Edison is a thief. Fuck that bitch. Anyway, like, it would be insane and I would live for it. I would live for it. So some of this behavior that we're talking about occurred before his Hype House was fully launched, according to later statements, but it's barely the tip of the iceberg. So the Hype House. Because High Studios' main office was a WeWork space in Texas. Oh, WeWork. We know that's a scam. We don't work. So they were in a WeWork in Texas. Venser ended up renting a $17,000 a month mansion in the 90210 zip code as a work/live space similar to the Hype House. The original Hype House is similar to the LA-based mansions to like Gen Z TikTokers that I just talked about, right? However, the idea of LA-based luxury, and now you can see right here, is a picture of like a Hype House. They got a logo in the pool. They got views of the city. It's like, what do you think about this, Chris? I think that, I don't know.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, you got a lot of tropes here, right? You got a cool guy in a hoodie. You got like a guy, you have like a tall white guy in a hoodie and a flat brim cap I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, he looks, my bet is he's Canadian. You know what I mean? He's got that vibe of like Canadian white hip hop guy in a hoodie. Right. Oh, you've got the guy all the way over here to the left who has the tuxedo jacket with the white t-shirt underneath.
What is this party? Because everybody's dressed for a different event.
I got a girl in a club dress.
I got a girl in a gown that goes to the ground. This other girl in sequins and shit. What? Nobody understood the assignment or like the teacher didn't make it very clear because everybody showed up. There's a man over here in a jean jacket and like then it's a girl in booties. Also, what is the weather? Because some people look cold. Some people ain't got no clothes on. What?
That guy's the denim jacket seems to have maybe even like a fur collar, a fur lining, and then
that's sheep wool. Off to the left
is a guy who's dressed like he's about to teach a salsa class. So it's a very ill-defined hype house.
Yeah, it's like the gumbo of hype houses. They said just come as you are. I'm like, sis, where's everybody going? She going to the Emmys later. She going to the club. She going to bed.
Do you think all these people host different shows on the High Studios network and that these clothes reflect their
energy on their podcast? Like the one in the gown, she does a bachelor podcast.
Have you ever been in an environment built for podcasting where anything, I mean, because this feels like people trying to be cool. But if you put, like, I've been to podcasting festivals, and if you put all the podcasters around this pool, it would not even look. This is not real. This is the actual High Studios Hype House right here.
Yes.
Yeah. This does not look. Not all of these people are professional podcasters. I can say that, having been in this space for years.
Listen, it's like every other profession. Once you become an influencer or you get enough followers, you can do anything. And I'm going to absolutely do that. I'm going to start selling grills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the George Foreman. It's about to be the Lacey Mosley grill. It's probably just going to be the George Foreman grill with my logo over it. But, you know, I'm going to make anything. I'm going to start making refrigerators. Why not?
I could see it. I could see you having a whole empire.
Always been passionate about keeping things cold. You know, outside of acting, I really love keeping things cold. And so I came up with some fridges.
That t-shirt that you sold that UCF, keep it cold, right? Isn't that your
keep it cold. That's my passion.
Yeah.
So with two state-of-the-art recording studios, just two? I feel like if you had a house of people, you need more than two. But okay. So with two state-of-the-art recording centers, a pool, and plenty of space, High Studios and podcasters could hold events, record, and host clients. On the surface, High Studios looked to be a thriving company throwing swaggy parties and creating a unique work environment. In reality, this was very much not the case, as several of the network's most anticipated shows fell through, and Vincer's already toxic behavior got worse. Duh. Of course it did. According to a lawsuit filed in 2020, at least four former High Studio employees allege inappropriate workplace behavior involving cocaine and sex workers, as well as being subjected to abuse, ridicule, and sexual harassment, which ultimately led to their wrongful terminations. Wow. So he was firing people after they were like, hey, bro, like, can you get out of the studio? We're trying to record it, and you're doing cocaine off of this employee's body. Like, can you, hello?
Right. Do you think you can keep it down, perhaps? I have a podcast about pop culture topics.
Right.
And we need some quiet. And then he's like snorting rail while eating sushi off a naked body.
Right. He's like, woo, podcasting! Woo! And they're like, bro, podcasting actually requires a lot of quiet. Can you?
One of the central things for the audio medium is consistent quiet, sir.
You can't be screaming and doing cocaine every day. He just got into the wrong industry. He should have got into the music industry if he wanted to be yelling this shit. You can't do that in podcasting. They're like, look, we're over here breaking down the best of Nailed It. We're over here talking about 90 Day Fiance. And we can hear you screaming and doing cocaine. He's like, if you don't fucking like it, get the fuck out, okay?
I want to know what shows were on this network.
Like, I do too.
Wonder if he was picking them all based on trying to corner some sort of like bro-y party, like fire festy vibe, or if they were just like, I get to live my audio dreams, and he's
giving Firefest. He's giving Firefest.
He dreams of throwing Firefest, right?
Some more examples of Vincer's behavior. When looking to hire a studio manager for the company's Hype House, Vincer gathered team members around the computer and clicked through LinkedIn profiles of women, asking aloud how big their breasts were and whether they were attractive. All right, Peter. No one can see your titties on a podcast.
Yeah.
Why should that matter?
To my knowledge. Nor is it a requirement to list or show your breast size on LinkedIn.
No, they're not so like, Peter. Oh, where'd you go to college? Oh, okay, where'd you get your master's? Cool. What is your cup size? It's not necessary. You're a weirdo. So he also passed on any person of color, the lawsuit claims, because that wasn't the look he was going for.
Wow.
He said, we give it Aryan over here, okay? We give it white supremacy.
Wow.
You've heard of the label Supreme, right? We give it white supreme, okay? That's all we want. Wow.
It makes me wonder how this company lasted more than like 3 weeks, because this seems bold.
Really? Oh, come on now, Chris. There's a lot of companies who are preserving whiteness, and they are standing strong and tall and doing well.
But to gather employees around a computer and go through LinkedIn profiles and guest bust sizes and then vocally, it seems like, at least, because look, there's companies out there that I think have good intentions that pull shit like this because it's the culture. It's like culturally built in. And this dude's not even trying to hide it. This dude's shouting about it to the hills. That's, I mean, I guess I am just naive, but that's like,
while on cocaine,
pretty astounding to me. Yeah.
I think that it works because also remember the medium. Podcasting, and when I first started podcasting, it was out of some rental house, or I actually podcasted in WeWork for a bit. You know, it's this new medium that people don't really know the rules for. And he's doing it in a mansion where people are living and also working. So the decorum and the workplace aspect gets confusing when you're literally like talking about work and you're sitting like in a jacuzzi, like you're not in a professional setting. So perhaps he got away with some of this stuff because it was like, we're not in a cubicle talking about LinkedIn titties, you know, we're by the pool talking about LinkedIn titties.
It does make you realize he must have had pretty free reign over that $100 million because you have to throw a lot of money around to get people
for sure
to go along with that, right?
So in March 2020, Himalaya, which is the podcasting company that's a subsidiary of the Chinese company, publicly separated itself from Hi Studios because they were like, okay, this man is crazy. So Vincer renamed Hi Studios to Notorious. Wow, for not liking black people, you're really hopping on our vibes. Notorious. So Notorious set the company up.
I think
up
he only knew the Duran Duran song, to be fair.
He had
no idea that it had ever been sampled.
You're right. So Vincer renamed Hi Studios to Notorious and set the company up to poach Hi Studios shows and creators and locked Himalaya and other former teams out of all accounts, drives, and emails. Because Vincer's name was on the house's lease, he made it a Notorious office and turned it into his and his family's actual home. So now he done moved his family in.
Whoa.
He said, this is my place of business. Also, there go my son. Like, what?
Wow.
So, for additional context, Peter Vincer has a wife and three kids. So, he moved three whole ass babies and his wife. Mind you, he's been hiring sex workers, so I don't know how he's going to do that when his wife is in the house. And his three kids to this home. So this is the decline. According to Norm Steele, a podcaster burned by Vincer, when Notorious transitioned from Hi Studios, the house fell into disrepair. Furniture was destroyed, dog poop sat on the floor inside the house, and trash, including baby diapers, would linger in the driveway for weeks. So his wife must have been on the same type of time, because I'm like, sis, you couldn't throw the baby diapers away in the trash?
I just know if the hero of the story who I'm rooting for is a guy named Norm Steele. Like, you have to be a pretty bad dude, Peter, because that sounds like the bad guy. Norm Steele sounds like the name of the bad guy, not the good guy, not the whistleblower.
And somehow he isn't? It's fascinating. So Vincer would also occasionally be passed out and shirtless in the living room when podcast guests were coming over. Can you imagine? Somebody be like, hey, come do my podcast. It's about pottery. And you come in and there's a half-dressed white man passed out in the living room surrounded by dog poop and baby diapers.
And he's the boss.
I don't mind him. That's our CEO. What? What?
Oh, that's awful.
You know how CEOs be, you know.
That is awful.
So Steele says it turned into a personal haven for this middle-aged man to relive his childhood. Since Notorious took over, there were also 40 calls to the police about the home, mostly related to disturbing the peace. Again, podcasting, you need quiet. No one should be disturbing the peace. How are they making podcasts? What's happening? In addition to the state of the house, many of the creators that worked with Vincer said the company fell behind on payments or refused to pay it all. So now they're not paying people. They're running out of money.
Oh, you don't say. You don't say that that Shocker. Guy wasn't getting checks in the mail on time.
One podcaster says that they were owed as much as $74,000 and that Notorious ended up paying them out once they got a lawyer involved. Steele says his team is owed $25,000 in back pay for advertisements that they read. Vincer says, so yeah, it took a little longer to pay early partners than I probably should have or wanted to, but he isn't aware of any current or former partners who he owes money. Other than Steele, who won't get a dime from him, it's unclear, other than the allegations made later by Steele regarding the lack of payment, why Vincer refuses to pay him. So, like, so you're saying that you do owe Steele money, Vincer? Peter, you owe him money, but you're not going to pay him?
This is a battle for the centuries. I feel like there's a follow-up episode about Norm Steele. And who knows, maybe Norm Steele catches wind of this. I'm not judging. This just sounds like a bad... Norm Steele sounds like the name. This is like...
Honestly, it sounds like a porn name. Norm Steele sounds like he's probably laying the pipe like the Mario Brothers.
But this doesn't sound like it's Lex Luthor versus Superman. It sounds like Lex Luthor versus the Joker. You know, this sounds like two people butting heads who have back stories.
So Vincer is also allegedly accused of attempting to pay Steele in weed.
That's awesome. That means he spent all the money on weed.
And then he was like, here, you want this bag of flour? You want this bag of weed?
That's wild.
So since its decline, Notorious has pulled the focus to mostly marketing and content creation geared to TikTokers and LA influencers. So now he done made it a real hype house, which is what it should have been in the first place. Like, don't do podcasting. It's a quiet sport. You need to do something where everybody can be TikToking and stealing black people's dance moves and shit and profiting off of it. That's the wave.
So he was aiming to be like, let's fill in the podcast space of this culture.
Yes.
And it just descended into the mayhem of that culture. And everyone
got screwed
out of money. He thought
he was going to do the TikTok of podcasting.
That's wild.
So since its decline, Notorious has pulled focus to mostly marketing and content creation, like we said. It maintains a handful of shows, once including Dumpster Fire, a podcast hosted by Firefest founder Millie McFarlane from prison. Millie! Millie, how are you podcasting from prison? I love it, but like... it feels very white. Like, I feel like black people can't have prison podcasts. Like, what's going on? I don't like it. So that ended after McFarlane was put in solitary confinement for it. Okay. It appears they conducted interviews on McFarlane's allotted phone time. Once caught, he was placed in solitary confinement. So yes, he wasn't allowed to do a podcast from prison. He was just podcasting via phone. I love that for Billy. Billy's like, I'm not going to stop scamming. Yeah, I'm in prison, but I'm going to do a podcast. Okay. At some point, it's going to be like a collect call.
I wonder how he thought he wouldn't get caught. You're recording a thing and releasing it to the world.
He's Billy.
Yeah. That guy doesn't give a shit, huh?
At all.
He's kind of like a patron saint of this podcast, huh?
He is. We honor him. You know, he is a criminal. And I have held the Magnesis card. Like, I've seen Magnesis events. Like, I love Billy.
Have you had him on yet?
No. I got to see when they let him out of confinement. Could? Absolutely. Absolutely. So Vincer has also moved the company to a new location, a 10-acre property called the Notorious Estate. However, this hasn't stopped the trouble following Vincer, as his new landlord served an eviction notice in April of this year. Look at this house.
That is cool.
So the other house was more modern. This looks like he done moved to like Pasadena or some shit, because it's like very kind of older decor. But we are still seeing like these hype house people.
Yeah.
And they look influencer-y.
There's two things that are jumping out here about me. One, impressive floor to ceiling windows. This is a very, very good window game. Also, candle mounts on the wall, evocative of the Hollywood Studios Tower of Terror. Right?
Yeah, it's giving like vampire.
Also, what is that? The person in the hoodie, is that person okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine not if they're in this house. It does look like they're drinking plenty of water, so...
Everyone seems hydrated.
Yeah, good luck to them. So, he had an eviction notice served in April of this year. Because they didn't vacate the property, the landlord has since filed a civil case against Vincer, asking him to pay damages of $1,900 per day while he and his team continue living there. Vincer's old landlord from High Studios, Hype House, also filed a lawsuit against him, alleging he failed to pay for rent and damages to the property. The landlord alleges that Vincer owes $71,967 in rent from May 2020 until he left the property in March 2021. With the damages to the home totaling up to $83,000. What? How are you damaging a home? I mean, well, if you're on cocaine and you're drinking and you don't know how podcasts work, maybe you can accrue that kind of damage.
One has to wonder why this man wants to keep doing this. I guess it's just until the Chinese bank account cuts him off, he's going to keep riding this. Huh?
He's a scammer. And I'm proud of him.
It doesn't seem like
he's a bad guy, though.
He does, and it doesn't seem like he has any particular interest in podcasts.
He does not.
It seems like this man fell into a bag of money, which he converted into a bag of cocaine. And you know what? God bless him for it. Have your fun while you're young. Have your fun while
you're
young.
Don't forget weed. He also converted into a bag of weed, which he tried to pay people with.
Which is, you know what, though? There is a part of me that's going, you also have a wife and three kids, though. That's where it turns from, like charming scamp with an open checkbook to, like, real piece of shit, right?
Like, huge piece of shit. Honestly, for me, it was the racism and the sexism and the weirdo hiring.
But those people are a dime a dozen. It's his face, too.
We knew from his face that he was going to be a bad guy. How do you have evil face? I guess some people just have evil face. Like, they're born, you just look at them, you know they're going to be evil.
Mm-hmm.
So Norm Steele is actually out here legitimately still podcasting.
Sounds legit. iHeartRadio.
Works with Charlamagne, iHeartRadio, the Gangster Chronicles. So Norm probably don't need that bag of weed payment as bad as we thought. Like, he seems to be doing all right.
Maybe he's not. Before I said it sounded like two bad guys, but maybe Norm Steele is a quality human being who just wants his fucking money. Maybe that's what's going on.
Maybe. Who's to say? And also, the house looked like it was in Pasadena, but it's in Beverly Hills. So, you know, it's still got a cute address, but now, it does look hella old.
You are Los Angeles-based, right?
Yeah.
Have you thought about any, you know, get at the mobile rig, go knock on the door, do some on-the-scene reporting?
I go to the Notorious house. I'm like, hi, I'm Lacey Mosley with Scam Goddess. That's also me. I just want to sit down and pick your brain a little bit. I would love to. This man, he's evil, but he's fascinating. So all these landlords are coming after him, saying that he owes them money. And Peter Vincer says that this is being negotiated right now, in quotes, but that he only didn't pay the last month's rent because he wanted negotiation leverage. I didn't know that's how rent worked. Like, you just don't pay it because you want to negotiate. I feel as though that's not how rent works.
I do feel like there is a traditional thing, though, of you gave them the first month's rent deposit, so you disappear on the last month, right?
Or is that just If he gave a deposit,
he might just be acting like he's only been out of college for 2 years and he's vacating an apartment, you know?
True. Hey. So even with three lawsuits underway, Notorious social media continues to be highly active and appears to continue being a fun, active influencer playground. Let's look at Notorious's Instagram. No. How many followers do they have? So they have 16.8K followers. That's decent. Broadcasting and media production company. Okay. They have a lot of cool photos at this mansion. Looks like a lot of photos are taken at the mansion.
These do seem... Are these all different podcasters on their network? I've never been in a room full of podcasters who look anything like any of these people.
I'm not sure. It looks like they've moved back into influencing, because this is a very influencer video.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
working out, there's cocktails, crowd surfing, Bud Light, a girl who's a DJ, but is also just very pretty and looks like an influencer. Wow.
But what is that? That is a podcast.
A new podcast. Emmy and Ian Need Help with Emmy Hartman and Ian Smith. Link to bio. Listen, rate, and subscribe. Emmy Hartman. Let's see what she about.
And these people seem like podcasters.
She has 379K followers. So who am I? Following.
Who am I to talk about Emmy Hartman?
Right. I didn't say nothing about her. We ain't say nothing about you. We're just trying to see what's going on, sis. Okay. So they are still doing podcasts. I guess.
Okay.
So, guys, that wraps up Historic Hoodwinks. Peter Vincer's still out here scamming and looks like he's doing pretty well. So, shout out to his evil ass. All right, guys, we'll be right back for the end of the show. Robbery!
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Scammer of the week, guys. It's time for the end of the show, the saddest part where I have to let Chris go. But before we do, we're going to highlight one honorary charlatan. We may like him, we may hate him, we don't know yet. More than 42,000 pounds of pistachios vanished from Touchstone Pistachio Company in California earlier in June. The company enlisted law enforcement to help them discover what happened, and the Tulare County Sheriff's Office later arrested Alberto Motomayor, 34, with his nuts. See what you guys did there. So Alberto had the nuts on him. He had a thang on him when they caught him. He's 34 years old. Okay. So Motomayor had been hiding the nuts in a trailer in a nearby parking lot to repackage for sale. Nuts heists have become more common, mostly due to their value relative to their size and lack of serial numbers, unlike electronics or car parts. Between 2014 and 2017, more than $7.6 million was lost in nut heists.
Nut heists.
Who's making that movie? We've seen the ones where they break into the Brinks truck, but like, who's making the movie where they fight Mr. Peanut and take all of his shit?
This is a real world out. This is why I love the earth. This is why I love humanity. That there's a whole swirling world of there's people who really have to care hard about nut heists, who figure out how to stop them. There's people at the FBI assigned to nut heists. There's private security firms that nut harvesting companies hire to protect their nuts from the nut heisters. And it's out there and it's going on every day. And none of the rest of us give a shit about it because we don't think about nuts.
Right. I just eat the nuts. I've never thought about where they came from, who heisted them, you know?
You've probably eaten stolen nuts.
We probably all have. And I love a good pistachio. Here's what I will say, though. Like, everything that grows on the earth belongs to the earth. And it's such a fake, made-up thing that people are like, I own this land or I own these nuts. Bitch, you don't own these nuts. These nuts were here before you. So, yeah, steal them nuts. Everybody, steal the nuts.
This is bringing, I feel like there's potential for a whole new connotation to the phrase, these nuts. These nuts is your nuts. These nuts is my nuts.
These nuts is your nuts. These nuts is my nuts.
These nuts belong to all of us.
These nuts were made for you and me, okay? Like, they're for all of us. So, it's currently unclear how Motomayor acquired his pistachios, but thieves have previously used forged documents and companies to pose as legitimate truckers. So, they pulling up like, here for the nuts, and really they're not supposed to be here for the nuts.
Oh, fake truck. That's the nut scam.
I love this. Got it. For everyone involved. I think I like the scam. Alberto, keep jacking them nuts. I don't want to see Alberto go to jail for nuts. Like, this feels ridiculous.
See, but that, I feel like you just set yourself up because somebody's going to isolate the audio of you saying, Alberto, keep jacking them nuts, and it could come back to haunt you.
That is a very good clip. Oh, wow. Well, Chris, we always ask on the show, where can people find you? Where do you want to be found?
Where do I want to be found? Well, people can check out my new special, as mentioned up top, and I'm going on the road, and I'll be doing like 25 different cities in the coming year. So chrisgeth.com, you can get info on all that and ticket sales and whatnot.
Yes.
I'd love to see people. We'll eat some nuts. We'll eat some counterfeit nuts.
Yes, eat all the counterfeit nuts together. I love this for you and for everyone who's going to attend your hilarious ass shows. And guys, as always, if you want to snitch on your friends and family, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure that your scam is retired. Pablo is not retired, guys. He's still out here. So maybe if you come to California and you rent a boat, look out for Pablo. He's very sweaty constantly, so he's easy to find. But if you want to find me, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D, Valacy, on all platforms, all episodes of A Black Lace Sketch Show are streaming now on HBO Max. And I think there's 6 episodes of iCarly out right now. So that comes out every Thursday on Paramount Plus. Thank you guys for supporting me. I love you, congregation. Stay scheming. Stay nutjacking. Scam Goddess.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Pais, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.